good singing. I don't care where you're from. That's just good all the way around. It's already been good this morning to be in the house of the Lord, enjoy the good singing together, and to be able to listen to this special music. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of John, St. John chapter number 19. St. John chapter number 19. We'll look there in verse number 1 in just a second, but I want you to look there in the book of St. John chapter number 19 and verse number 1. You find the place you're able to stand, then do so while we look there in this chapter. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth unto you that you may know that I find no fault in him." And then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. And we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you for the good word of the Lord. We ask you to lead us, guide us, and direct us therein. There may be somebody lost without God that today would be the day that you'd seal their name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'd be washed by the blood, born into the family of God. We ask you now that you'd right every wrong and every harm. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. Now, we're going to look at other related passages in this sermon here, but let me say to you that in the course of this sermon, there's a king that'll be mentioned. His name is Herod. There's a governor that's mentioned. His name is Pilate. And there's a king of kings that's mentioned. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, I want to preach a little bit about the manliness of Christ. Now, you know, everybody wants him to look like some kind of a weird queer, some kind of a real soft faggot looking person. I got to tell you right now, our Lord and our Savior was much of a man. He's the God-man incarnate in human flesh. And let me tell you, do you remember that man by the name of John the Baptist? Remember when he came out of the wilderness wrapped with a camel girdle? And they eat locusts and wild honey, and he was walking about preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you realize that, everybody didn't have any problems thinking he was a man? Hey, remember that man by the name of Elijah, that after he walked up to Ahab and said that according to the word of the Lord, it's not raining anymore except by my word. And he turned and he walked off and he left. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that that was much of a man right there. Now, how'd you like to go up in face of a king? How'd you like to go up in face of this bumble-headed president that we've got? He wouldn't remember it by the time you left him, but there'd be somebody somewhere wanting to indict you for something. I said all that to be able to say this. Those are two men that we knew were godly men. They were bold. Do you know that Jesus Christ, that some mistook him to be John the Baptist or Elijah or, and in fact, he asked him in the book of Mark chapter number 16, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And somebody and told him, Simon Peter said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Elias or Elijah. Some say that Jeremiah or one of the prophets." I got to tell you something, Jesus was a very manly man. Number two, I want to give you something else. Jesus never wore a robe. Now, isn't that something? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that they put a robe upon him, but that's not the way that he was. Do you realize that, that he never one time referred to any of his garments and any of his garb as a robe? Never one time. I tell you what you will find. You will find that he mentions there that he's had a coat, and it was woven within without within us. And they said, "Let's don't cut it up. Let's just go ahead and divide and gamble for it at the foot of the cross." And that's what they did. You'll find that he called his clothing sometime a coat, sometime a remnant. And there's several related passages that'll show you that. You'll find sometimes he was calling it a garment. And there's related passages, sometimes garments, sometimes a vesture, sometimes clothes, but never will you ever find Jesus wearing a robe. They put this robe upon him because that's what Hollywood likes to do. They put this robe upon him so they could mock him and make fun of him. In fact, is don't lose your text here that you're looking at, but I want you to look over there in the book of Luke, in the book of Luke in chapter number 23. And the reason why that we're looking there is because there's a lot more people in authority. You know, I never realized that a governor had as much authority that he's got. And I want to say thank God that we've got as good a governor as we've got. There's a lot of people that have got nothing but a reprobate going straight to hell, people that are running their state, and they hate God, the Bible, and everything that's good, right, moral, and decent. But in the book of Luke, I want you to turn there, chapter number 23, and about verse number 11, and about verse number 12, and I want you to see that passage there. All right? Watch this. And Herod, with his men of war, set him in awe, and they mocked him. And arrayed him in a look gorgeous robe, not just an old plain ordinary, but a gorgeous thing. And then they sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Here's two men didn't like each other, and they both had something in common, and they both hated Jesus Christ, and it made good buddies out of them. What a sad day that is. In this day and hour that we're looking in, let me say to you, is that you'll find is that you here either love him or you hate him, one of the two. If you're not saved by the grace of God, I don't know what you're waiting on. Grace is the only thing that can save you, will save you. And let me tell you right now, you can avail yourself of the grace of God. You can be washed by the blood poured into the family of God. And today's day can be recorded through eternity. That's when you got saved by the grace of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, and don't be afraid. Me, I ain't got any kind of communicable diseases. Sprinkle just a little allergy. I'm always telling people the last person told me that gave me something. And in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that whenever they put that robe upon him back in our text, that it was not because that they wanted to acknowledge that he's a king of kings. They wanted to mock him. They wanted to make fun of him. And the fact is, you'll find that Pilate over and over again said, I find no fault in this man. And yet he stood there and witnessed and consented to the crucifixion of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that, if you will, that they ask him several questions. And you'll find that in the noise and in the face of that noise, when they were screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Let me tell you, is that the Lord never looked to the right or the left. He simply did that which was right in the sight of his heavenly Father. And he kept his steady pace and steps in accordance to the word and the will of God. Let me tell you something, is that our Lord and Savior, you know, he didn't drive around in a nice, cute little old car. He didn't have a nice pickup truck to be able to drive. Somebody traced down all the steps, and not me, but and said that he probably covered about 2,500 miles on foot when he was about the Father's business. And I can't dispute that. I can't really put my stamp of approval, but everywhere he went, you know, you'll find that he had to walk. Either that or he had to go on a beast of burden. I said all that to be able to say this, is that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, he had one thing in mind, and that was to submit his life unto the Heavenly Father's will and to be able to go to the cross of Calvary and bow his head and say and give up his ghost and pay the sin debt for you and I and all that is in the world. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you that he was a courageous man. And let me tell you right now, there were those that wanted to ask him and said, well, we'd like to know what it was you've been preaching out there in the street. Look in chapter number 18, the book of St. John, and I want you to look at about verse number 19 and 20. Now, in the place that we're looking at here, you'll find the high priest asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. We'd like to know what you're teaching for a doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. I'm going to tell you, they wouldn't have let him in the lodge, would they? Verse 21, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me with what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" I want to say to you, Jesus simply told them, listen, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but well, why smitest thou me? I got to say to you that our Lord was a courageous man, and in the face of adversity, he didn't waver to the right nor the left one way. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that in this passage that we're looking, Judas in chapter number 18, in about verse number 2 is where it begins. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Now the Lord Jesus is already in verse number 1, has already gone over the brook Cedron, and there was a garden, and there he's there in the garden of Gethsemane. And Judas, he said, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. And Judas then, having received the band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" Let me say to you, that would have been enough right there. As they all fell backwards and fell to the ground, they ought have got up if they'd had good sense and left. Jesus asked him again, if it's "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." Then Jesus answered in verse 8, "I've told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." You talk about a fellow that's willing to pay the price and buy himself. In fact is, he's the only one that can pay the price. In fact is, you can't help Jesus save you and make you go to heaven. You'll have to come to him as an empty-handed beggar. Be bought, washed by the blood of the Lamb, born into the family of God. It'll have to be God granting you repentance and God giving you faith. Do you know in the day we live in, you're going to find people that are going to say, "I just can't believe that Jesus stuff you people are preaching." No, you can't. And the reason why you can't is because God has not given you and granted you faith to believe him. If God doesn't give you and I faith to believe him, you won't never get born again. You can have religious experiences. You may even can deliver a sermon like Balaam. But you'll end up dying like he did with the heathen. And the reason being is it takes the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to grant you repentance and faith. And when God gives you God-given faith, you can get washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, in our lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that Judas, he knew the place of prayer, but he didn't know the person of prayer. You're sitting here this morning before me, you may know the place where he prayed. And I may could say, where's the place where Jesus prayed with the disciples? And you could shout out, "Gethsemane." We know the place. Judas knew the place. And yet he died and went to hell without God because he didn't know the person. He knew the place of prayer, but not the person of prayer. See? In this lesson this week here, you'll find out that when God saved us, is that he puts us in business with him, and he puts us to be a praying people. I've been praying for some of you this week. I don't have to like you, but I do like you. I know what you thought you were saying to boy. Is it me you don't like? You know, no, I like everybody that's here. I don't know anybody here. I know some people I don't particularly like and that I have prayed for in days gone by. See? And by the way, and let me just say to you that if you will, so you'll know it. You know, here the other day I was sick and I stayed home. And I didn't want to enjoy watching TV while y'all were having church. But old flesh just likes it. No, I went to sleep in the chair. When I woke up, it was all over. And I thought, man, if I could have at least been here praying. And I did pray. But then I fell asleep praying. I know, you wouldn't have done that. You'd have just been praying and agonizing to God and all that business there and so forth and on. But I was there by myself. Had to get up and get my own snack. Well, I mean, you have to get back and adjust that chair, and you can't never get it exactly like it was. I won't tell you what I do know is, regardless of how sorry, good for nothing, low life that I am, I've been saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the King, buddy, and make no mistake about it. Greater greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. I begin to think about, whenever you begin to look into this lesson here, that is that I wasn't able to get up and get around. You know what amazes me? I see people all the time that are not able to come to church, but they can drive all over town. They can go to Walmart when they want to. They can party and play with family or friends if they like. But somehow or another, they're just not able to get down to the house of God. Now, here's a man here this morning, I guarantee he's not able. He's here not able. And I'm glad to see him. It's done my heart good. Hey, listen, if for no other reason, I'm glad I got to come and just to see him and his wife. What faithfulness that they have displayed through all these years. I hope you'll make that a special matter of prayer. I want to get hastening on and move right along here. Is because the Bible said that, if you will please, is that while Herod, he thought, hey, let's put this gorgeous robe on him. And they smote him with the palms of their hands. And you remember that whenever you look into it, the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes ahead and contends with him and says, listen, you want to know what my doctrine is? You want to know what I believe? I ever spake openly. There was nothing ever spoken in secret. Ask them that are here. They heard me. They didn't believe it, but they heard him. I want to say that, if you will please, in chapter number 19, I want you to watch this here at about verse number 28. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's old Pilate, and he's asking Pilate. Pilate's asking him some questions, and he doesn't answer. And Pilate wants to be the big shot that he is, and, hey, don't you want to answer me? Do you not know that I have the power to do this or to do that and so forth and all? And Jesus said, you'd have no power at all against me were it not given to thee from above. As a result of that, no doubt they didn't appreciate one bit what he had to say and the truth of God that was in his lips. And let me tell you something, is that he spake openly, he spake simply, and let me tell you, is that he speaks with authority. No person able to have any power, according to chapter 19, verse 10 and 11, against the Lord, except it be given from heaven. Now, I get ready to close, and I want you to show something here, is that his self-control in about verse number 23 of chapter 19. And the Bible said, no, verse 28. In verse number 28, and after this, Jesus, knowing all things, were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now watch this. He's hanging on the cross. He's moments away from bowing his head and giving up the ghost. But he completely has self-control and keeps his composure in knowing that the scriptures are yet to be fulfilled. He says, I thirst. Then in verse 29, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar and filled with a sponge of the vinegar and put it upon the hyssop and put it up to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And I want to tell you something. He's going to come again like a thief in the night and catch many unaware. This Bible said that he's going to come quickly and his rewards with him to give to every man according as his faith be. You're going to find that whenever he does come again, if you have not received him in the free pardon of sin, what a sad day that'll be for you. Listen, you could have died in Christ, but like many of them, chose to die out of Christ. And if you live without God and you die without God, you'll spend eternity in a place called hell without God. When you could have received him in the free pardon of sin. There's no greater thing in this life than to be able to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of exciting things. I've got some nice mounts, some nice buck mounts hanging on the wall. And I sit there every day and thank God for how, and ask God's blessing on everybody that helped me get to that point. I've got some pictures of some very nice fish. Now, I don't have any mounted fish. And they don't look good after you skin them and fry them. But I've caught some whoppers. And let me just tell you right now, make no mistake about it. What a thrill that it's been, and what a privilege that it's been to be able to go and to do some of those kinds of things. I can tell you up front is that the greatest joy and thrill in this earthly life that I've ever had was meeting my wife and her keeping me all this time. She still waits on me hand and foot. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, I could not have a vocabulary adequate enough to explain what a blessing and she's been to me and the ministry of God. But the greatest joy and the greatest thing of my life is the same thing if you're saved that you've got, is the day God came knocking on your heart. And by faith, you opened up your heart and your life and you received Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. What a thing. That's the most clean feeling you'll ever have. That's the most wonderful experience that not only you can have in this life, but that'll carry you beyond this world that we're living in. I wonder, what about you, young man? Have you trusted Christ? Young lady, have you trusted Christ? Maybe while God's knocking on your heart's door, this would be a good time for you to be wise and come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved, and I want to be saved now by the grace of God." Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Now, Father, we ask your blessings.